Morning. Welcome to Burwell Baptist Church on a beautiful morning. Isn't it lovely? We did consider moving outside, but we thought the projector wouldn't work quite so well. This morning we're coming to meet with God, to hear his story again, to hear the story of Jesus once again, and to encourage one another in our faith and our walk with him. Perhaps I could have my first slide up and we'll just go through the notices. You should have been given a notice sheet as you came in. And along with that, you will have received a questionnaire. That questionnaire is really part of our preparation for our away day as a church. If you're not part of our local church, by all means, take it away. It should still give you results that might be interesting for you anyway. If you're freaked out by questionnaires, don't worry. There are people around to help you. All the elders and deacons have done it already and they survived. So you can turn to them and they can direct you. And you've got, until the 15th of October to fill it in, so there's no rush. But don't lose it. If you could not do it during this service, that would be helpful. I hope to keep you sufficiently engaged that you don't need to do that instead. So, what have we got? Last week we were talking about the fact that our role as Christians really is to recognise a donkey, to keep out of the way, and cheer loudly. Okay? And we talked about recognizing donkeys today. And one of the donkeys I pointed out was that there's a Macmillan coffee morning coming up, and David Martin is launching his history of the church here, 165 years of the church. And at that very moment, the author walks in. that was one of the minutes that he missed. 165 years in minutes. So do come along to that. That's an opportunity to invite people in. There'll be a few photographs, a few memories, and a talk about the old times of the Boys Brigade and so forth. And that leads into our invitation Sunday, next Sunday, where we got Back to Church Sunday, another donkey to recognise, to bring people to hear more about Jesus Christ, those that perhaps haven't been for a while, to encourage them to come back. And finally, the barbecue following, in which there is no donkey. There is no donkey involved in this at all, but we do need people to bring meat. We don't know quite how many people are coming, so if you can bring what you're going to eat yourself and what your visitors might eat, be it meat or salads, whatever, that would be really helpful. We will have a barbecue, so people will be here to do that. I think other than that, it's just to say there is a church meeting coming up on Wednesday. Is that right? 14th of September. Now, what time does it start, James? Because I usually turn up late. It's on the notice sheet. All right. So we'll all go by what it says on the notice sheet. It's a church meeting. And there are some important decisions to be made there, not least the appointment of a new deacon. So if you're able to come, if you're a church member, please join us for that. Quarter to eight. All right. 7:45. Quarter to eight. Okay, let's pray together, and then I'll just introduce this morning's service, and then we'll continue without further interruption. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you that we can come together to celebrate your life, death, and resurrection again together. We thank you that we can do so in the knowledge of your love that is set upon us. Thank you you've also placed us into this family, that you have drawn us together to this place for this moment because you want to bless us together and through each other. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit of God. We welcome you, Father. We place this time into your hands and ask that in it we might learn to know you and love you more. Amen. Well, during the summer, both here with the adults and with the children in their Sunday club, we've been thinking about the life of Jesus. So I can have that slide for me, please, Helen. Thank you. So the life of Jesus. And we've been thinking about it in seven different sections. Today we'll look at the eighth section of Jesus' life, maybe portions of his life, because we've looked, for example, at his teaching, not a specific time, but his teaching, different parts of his ministry. We're going to try and remember what we've learnt during those weeks. Now, for some of you who are visiting with us today, that's a great relief for you because you don't know what we learnt. But there should be people around you that do remember, including those that have been at the Sunday Club and have done the teaching. So they really ought to know what's happened. So together, we'll try and remember what's been taught. And if you do wonder what on earth is going on, you can always look at the Bible, okay? Because you find in Luke's Gospel, there is a good story about Jesus' life, and that will help you to know what's going on through the service. One of the things we're going to be thinking about is how do we bring down all that happened in Jesus' life into just a few words? And we'll be thinking about that in several different ways through the service. To begin with, Lynn's going to lead us with a call to worship from a book called Twitturgies by Gerard Kelly. Thanks, Lynn.
So the great thing about Twitturgy is that it's very short. This is it. So I'll read it to you, and then I'll just read a bit of explanation about it, and then perhaps we'll read it together. Beauty is found in you, God, and you are found in beauty. Where the world releases the fragrance of its wonders, you are praised. To understand an artist, it is best to look at their art. Creative people express themselves in the works they create, and God has expressed himself in all he has made, in this planet and its people. We are surrounded every moment with the beauty of God. Which means that wherever the world's beauty is expressed, God is honoured. All art that honours beauty honours God. Music that highlights harmony and touches the human spirit speaks of God. The unbeatable innocence of a child's smile is the smile of God. We have a good example, don't we, this morning. The smell of fresh ground coffee is the fragrance of God. Take a look around. Take a look around. Do you see beauty? Is your heart stirred with joy? Does the goodness of life reach out to you? That is the aftershave of God, bringing fragrance to your world. Shall we say this together? Beauty is found in you, God, and you are found in beauty. Where the world releases the fragrance of its wonders, you are praised.
We're going to sing our first song, and this song, it's very familiar to most children, but it may not be familiar to all adults, so we'll have to teach it to you. It speaks about God being very big. It speaks about God being big. And how can we possibly talk about God with a few words when he's so big? When Solomon built a temple, he built the biggest, best building he could think of. He covered it with gold. He built it using cedar and myrtle wood, both of which have a scent. The scent, the fragrance of God, the beauty of this building was beyond anything that anybody had ever seen before. And when it was finished, he looked at it and he said, "How could God dwell in this building? How could God be contained in the universe? God is bigger than that." And yet God dwelt in the temple. And he dwelt in Jesus Christ. God is able to express himself in a very few words. So we're going to use this song to remind ourselves of just how big God is before we start the task of trying to speak about of Jesus' life in a few words. So the song is, "Our God is a great big God." How many people know the song? Oh, good. How many people know the actions? Great! There's three of us. Okay, so we might need to tell you the actions. So our God, God is heaven, you see. So God, our God is, you can join in. Our God is a great big God. Yeah? Repeat. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. He is higher than a skyscraper. That's the tallest thing we can think of. Higher, so you can do it. Higher than a skyscraper. And what's the deepest thing we can think of? A submarine. Submarine, see? So it's submarine. Deep in the submarine. If you're really fit and able, you can do the... But if you're not, you just do that. That's fine. Deeper than the submarine. He is wider than the universe. Try not to hit anybody as you're doing that. But health and safety. And beyond my wildest dreams. That's your wildest dreams, you see. And he's known me. And he's loved me since before the world began. Yeah? Now we've got a choice here. We thought it's time we did a bit more clapping in this church. We're not very good at clapping. See, sometimes we call us happy clappy, but we're happy, but we're not much clappy. So we'll do a little bit of clapping this morning. So we'll clap during the next. It's how wonderful, how marvelous to be part of God's amazing plan. Is that basically what it says? Oh, he holds us in his hands. Yeah. Missed that bit. What was that? Comes earlier. All right. Missed that bit out. It will be obvious when we get to that point. If I stand here, you won't be able to see the screen. So I'm going to stand down there so you can see the screen, but hopefully still see the actions. You will need to stand up. Otherwise, you'll poke somebody's eye out. Okay. Very good. Well done. Please sit down. That was remarkable. I've never seen so many people doing the action so well. You loved it as well, didn't you? You're going to learn that one, I'm sure. Right. So, we were thinking about this lifetime of Jesus, the lifeline of Jesus. That's what this piece of string represents, the lifetime of Jesus. And over the weeks, we've been putting various bits on this line to try and build up his life. So, we need 7 volunteers, very quickly, to put up the different parts of Jesus' life. Thank you very much, Alex. There's one. Great. 2. Anthony, so kind of you. 3. Mike smiled. 4. Okay. Ah, yeah, we don't know yet. Thank you. Thank you. David, there we are. Great. Okay. So come and stand at the front. Show us a piece of paper. Now, just all line up. Show your piece of paper. Hold it up nice and high. Squeeze along. Now we need to do wider than the universe again, don't we? See what can happen. Okay. Now you see the wisdom of me not putting the references on the memory verses. Okay? Because otherwise that would have made it a bit obvious what order they should go in. So who should go first? Which one should go first?
No.
What are we looking for?
Jesus at the temple.
Jesus at the temple. Now, who's got Jesus at the temple, do you think? I think we got this one. He ends up at the temple again, you see. That's a bit confusing. But Alex is the first one. No, not that one. I tell it. It is Jake. To the front of the line. I tell a lie. To the front of the line. Okay, so who comes next? What happens after Jesus in the temple?
Baptized the river.
Baptized in the river. Who's got baptism? Yeah, go next then. Yeah. Okay, what's next? Oh, calling the disciples. Well done, James. Calling the disciples. That's the one with the boats. Yeah, did you make boats that week, didn't you? Yeah, all right. So you go next. Yeah. In the middle. Yeah, 3. What happened after that? What do we do next?
Heal the sick.
Roger here this morning? Roger did about signs and healing. So I think that's you next, Tony. Then we had teaching, I think. And then what came next? They went on holiday. Yeah, but those of you that weren't on holiday, Transfiguration came next, which is David. And then Alex will come last. Yeah, we got teaching. That's all right. You stay where you are and do to others. I think that's the right order now, isn't it? Yeah, that was teaching. So signs, teaching, transfiguration. Then Palm Sunday, Jesus enters the temple again for the second time. Okay, we got the right order. We now need seven groups, because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Now, the way I planned to do this was that we'd have six groups downstairs and one group upstairs.
Well done, Trevor.
Well, what can I say, Trevor? There's only one person in the group, but it's high quality. Well, I'm going to send you up somebody anyway, so that you've got somebody to help you there. And you really need a younger person. So let's say, Jake, would you like to go up with Trevor? And Trevor will work with you, okay? Just the two of you. Somebody else might want to go and help. Stacey, would you like to go and help them? Yeah, I think they're going to struggle otherwise. Okay. Right. So what I'd like you to do then is to find six groups down here. So you've got six bits of paper, so you want to find six groups. About three or four people in each group would be great. Off you go. Try and gather them fairly close to one another. That would be great. Yeah. No, you'll need to go further back. There's lots of people at the back who haven't got any. And this? Okay. That's better. Right, so I've already worn my battery out, but hopefully, is everybody in a group? Everybody's in a group. Good. Right, that's good. So, the trouble is now that my projectionist is probably in a group, but if I can have my PowerPoint back. Yeah, so what I'm going to ask you to do is to think about the portion of Jesus' life that you've got there and to try and explain it in just a few words. Now, you might think that that is completely heretical. How can we possibly do that? But this is how Luke described 18 years of Jesus' life. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in the favor with God and people. Full stop. That's 18 years. So surely you can do the little bit that you've got in 140 characters. You're not looking dismayed enough. 140 characters. Does anybody know why 140 characters? It's 140 characters in a tweet. There you are, in a tweet. Now, does anybody recognise this? Who can read it? Let's start with that. Who can read it? Who can read a tweet or a text message? Let's have a go. I think, let's see, who might be good at reading a tweet or a text message? James, I think you'd be excellent to come and read a text message. Come and see if you can read it out. So stand up and read it nice and loudly. Let's just read what you see. Read what you see.
Absolute
What about Andrew? He's a bit younger. Could he have a go? Yeah, just read what it says. Yeah. I think it's probably written by somebody from this area, wasn't it? Yeah. Rawr, rawr. Okay, so given that wonderful rendition, thank you very much, Andrew, do we think we know what it is? Somebody said it over there? The Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. So this is the Lord's Prayer in text language or tweet language, and it is in less than 140 characters. Now, again, somebody might say, well, that's outrageous. That's just, so trivializing the Lord's Prayer. Do you know that the whole Old Testament was written without any vowels and without any spaces between any of the words? And the New Testament was written all in capitals with no punctuation and no spaces between any of the words. The Bible is written in tweet language. You have to know something of the language to be able to read words that are all pushed together like that. But somehow we sort of worked out what it meant, what it said. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to try and summarize the portion of Jesus' life. You might want to turn to the Bible and think about his teaching or whatever it is, but try to bring it down into those few words. Now, some of you probably don't like using words. We were talking yesterday at a course that I was at, and they were saying how important it is to think about the things that are trending at the moment. I don't know what's trending at the moment, but they told me that adult colouring books are really in. Okay, so I've got some colouring for the adults, but the children might want to give a go as well. Okay, so colouring for the adults to do a picture. Now, if you're really gifted, you can use the back of it and draw a picture of that portion of Jesus' life, because a picture is worth 1,000 words, so you might want to go that route. At the end of this time, you're going to come and share what your portion of Jesus' life is. Now, I noticed that this group's only got 3 people in it, and the group at the back there has got about 119. So if we can perhaps choose a couple of people to come from the back to the front, just to even up the size of the group, that would be great. So you've got 10 minutes to summarize that portion of Jesus' life. Now, the way I suggest you do it is like this, that you think about, to start with, the most important events in Jesus' life about that portion of life that you were talking about, and then try and summarize it in 140 characters or less. I have got what I've called a tweet sheet. Do you see what I did there? Tweet sheet. Which may or may not help you. I didn't find it very helpful when I tried it myself. But it does at least tell you how many characters you've got. But you can end up with that if you wish. So, I will come around and give out the photocopying. Can somebody come down from upstairs and collect the... you'll have to tell me which bit you are. Okay. Right. Do you know what you're doing? You're summarizing that portion of Jesus' life, preferably in 140 characters or less. Okay, you had the first portion. Okay, let's see which one it is. That's the one. There you go. Oh, do you want some pens as well? Jake, do you want some pens? Take a handful. Do you want a colour? Take a handful, yeah. Okay, so you've just got a couple of minutes left now, so it'd be a good idea to write something down. No pressure. Okay, so we got one group that's finished. James, is your group nearly finished? Okay, you better write a word down. I can see Mike's frantically tweeting here. Okay, so whilst right now you're going to be saying that I'm rushing you, at the end of the service you'll say the service went on too long. So I'm going to stop you there. And what I need is the first two portions. So that's the first bit where Jesus is in the temple, that's upstairs, and Jesus' baptism. Who's Jesus' baptism? Down here. Are you ready?
Yeah,
excellent.
30 seconds,
yeah, okay. Would you like to come and get ready? Can have your portion up on the timeline. We're going by which bit of the picture you're on, so. That's the baptism. Well spotted, Jake. Yeah. Afraid so. Just wing it. That's what you normally do, isn't it, Trevor?
Yeah.
Okay. Bring Jake. Yeah. Okay. So, whilst they're coming down, we stand today around the communion table. The communion table reminds us of the Last Supper, where Jesus used bread and wine to speak about his life. And he said that we should do this in remembrance of him. So what we're trying to do is remember Jesus. We're trying to remember Jesus' life. And just by trying to boil it down, making you think hard about how would you say in a few words, we're trying to remember Jesus' life better. So let's hear the beginning of Jesus' life.
Just for me, okay, I didn't write it down being scared of things, so I used my spell checks as a chance to actually read what we've got. So in a few words, perfect from the start, perfect growing up, pointing to God at all times, influenced in all that he acts, trustworthy in all things, even when misplaced.
Very good, thank you. Second portion.
Change of tone. We were trying to keep in spirit with tweeting and stuff like that, so I apologise now. At Earthlings, splish, splash, splosh, watch the birdie. Hashtag new beginnings, hashtag SOG, which is Son of God, hashtag follow me, hashtag salvation, hashtag Messiah, hashtag forgiven, hashtag totes amazeballs.
Well done, very good. We've got the two pictures up there. We got another, we got a video tweet to go with that. So is that that side? Yeah. Okay. Gonna put that there. Okay, thank you very much. Please sit down. We'll come back to the rest later. But we're going to just come back to worship again now and get Lynn and the group, Pete, James, to come and lead us in singing. We're going to sing, You Are My Anchor, My Light and My Salvation. Shall we stand together to sing? Well, thank you. Please be seated. So we're ready for the next two tweets, which are Calling of the Disciples and Jesus' Teaching. So Calling of the Disciples. You had Calling of the Disciples. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kevin. Come and join us. And then next was Jesus' Teaching, Do Unto Others. We've lost Doug. Doug, are you speaking? So Calling the Disciples, we'll have your pictures up first.
Okay. Beautiful, isn't it?
It's great.
Okay, after reading this passage, something that really stood out to me was just how influential God can be. I mean, I've been a tired fisherman before, and to go back at it again, you gotta really be confident. And I think that's just the confidence that God can put in us. So we kind of summarize it as Jesus is an influential God. When he says, drop and follow me, you have no choice but to drop everything you got and follow him. And therefore, the ministry continued with James, John, and Peter.
Excellent. Well done. Doug, you're next up with Jesus teaching.
We struggled a bit, but there's just so much with his teaching you could say. We read this passage in Luke chapter 6, and where he's talking about the Beatitudes, and we came up a little short with 140 characters, but we condensed it to be kind to one another, love one another, treat everyone as you want to be treated, and love your enemies.
Very good. Well done. Okay, thank you. And the next two tweets, we got Signs and Wonders. Who had healings, signs and wonders? James, is that you? And then following that, we've got Transfiguration. So who's got the Transfiguration? Yeah, take your partly coloured in picture. You've got to write your age on it, though, Andrew. Okay, great. So you first, James.
Okay, we were struggling with tweeting. But we just come up with JC at Earth, healed many, ink, blind, lame, lepers, deaf, dead, sick, demon, fulfilled scripture.
Very good. Excellent. And what about you, David?
In listen to this verses, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. So we weren't so good at tweeting, but our group was a lot of school teachers. So we imagined, how would you announce this to your class? So we had, listen up, this is my son in all his glory. Follow him.
Very good. School announcement.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't worry about the covering up the screen. We can deal with that. Thank you. And as we're thinking about this amazing life that Jesus lived and the way the impact that that had on the world, we're going to sing about the amazing love of God. So a love so amazing has come to save me. Okay. Who can't see because of these over here? Thank you. Please sit down. Okay, so we come to our last couple of tweets. So we've got the triumphal entry. Who had the triumphal entry? Howard, right at the back there. Are you okay climbing up the stairs, Howard? You're good on stairs, though, aren't you, Howard? Okay, come, Alex and Howard. Howard says he's glad he came this morning. I think that's probably ironic, so we'll put that there. So you're next along the line, aren't you, sir? Go.
Okay. You
give us this
in home for a long one.
It's a long book.
Okay. The taxman John. King's emissary not accepted. Came in triumph, accepted by people, by common people, sorry. All things must praise him. My temple for prayer, throw everything else out. Rulers ask, who gives him authority? Tries to kick him out. Give to Caesar, Caesar's things, God to God. Knows all things to come. Small gifts are important to God. Even best friend betrays him.
Very good. Well done. Thank you very much. Thanks for doing that. Now, it's hard, isn't it? It is hard to try and summarize these big things in just a few words. I must have another piece of paper somewhere, but never mind. Today we're thinking about the cross and resurrection, and that obviously fills a big important part of Jesus' life. The cross and resurrection central to the teaching and the meaning of Jesus' life, and I thought that was probably asking a bit much to you to do that in 10 minutes, so I had a bit of a bash of that myself, and I came up with this. At Passover, people wanted to kill Jesus. Last meal. Bread and wine. See what I did there? Equals body and blood. Please retweet. Arrested, accused. Beaten, beaten, rejected, Andrew? Very good. Led to die. JC, forgive them. Dead and buried, plus 3 days, alive. Hashtag yo-yo. Anyone know yo-yo? You're on your own. Never. There they go. At Passover, people wanted to kill Jesus. Last meal, bread and wine equals body and blood. Please retweet. Arrested, accused, beaten, rejected, led to die. JC, forgive them. Dead and buried, plus 3 days, alive. Yo-yo, never. Okay. Well, I thought that's pretty good going. I sat myself... So what was that? I did take longer than 10 minutes. That might be true. But not much longer than 10 minutes, it has to be said. Not much longer. Well, Luke was set the task of trying to explain the life of Jesus in a short book. And he, of course, wrote it in Greek with all those capital letters and all joined together without any punctuation so that he could fit it all into his book. When John wrote his letter, his story of Jesus' life, he said, if we wrote down everything that Jesus did, I don't think all the books in all the world could possibly contain what Jesus has done. So Luke and John both had to just try and narrow down exactly what they said to the most important things so that they could really get over the message that they wanted to put over. And this is what Luke wrote. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and to the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat my Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I'll not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it is decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. It's a powerful passage, bringing the life of Jesus to that climax that it's been approaching for the last 30 years. And it leads us to the communion table, to the place where we remember that Last Supper in which Jesus asked us to remember him in. We're going to sing together a song to remind us of Jesus coming and being our sacrifice. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. It's a hymn. Many of you will know the hymn, and it goes through Jesus' life as we've been trying to do, summarizing all that his life means. So we'll stand together to sing. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. We've been thinking about the life of Jesus as laid out in the Gospel of Luke, and he begins with Jesus' birth, and he ends with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension. But of course, Jesus' life began before he was born. Before the world began, Jesus was with the Father and the Spirit in loving relationship, creating the world. And after his ascension back to heaven, he continues at the right hand of the Father. And the good news is that Jesus will come again, and that one day we will meet with him, the risen Lord. And in the midst of that story, of that life of Jesus, is that event, bread and wine. And Jesus invited the disciples to become part of the story. And that's what he invites you to do today. He says that we should do this in remembrance of him. He says that this bread was broken for you. And as we break it today, we do it in remembrance of him. It's an amazing invitation that God invites you to partake in his broken body and to drink from his poured out blood. We do this then in remembrance of Jesus, who invited us to do so. First, we just take a moment to reflect on the great love that he's shown in that, and how unworthy we are of that as we confess our sins before him. Lord, we thank you that you knew us completely when you chose to die in our place. You knew that you had to do that for us. You knew that there was nothing that we could do to make ourselves worthy of that, and yet you chose to die anyway. So we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your invitation to become part of your story. Amen. Perhaps those that are serving would come and join me. Ooh, there's a rush to the front. So, that looks like James and Barry. Congratulations, you're serving this morning. So we're going to sing together, Come and See, Come and See. And as we do that, we just prepare our hearts and our minds to worship, to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So, please be seated. We have bread to be distributed to all those who know and love the Lord Jesus. You're welcome to join us in this meal. If you're perhaps too young or not that point in your journey that you want to partake of this meal, we do have some grapes which you might like to take instead. So the body of Jesus, Barry, was broken for you. James, the body of Jesus was broken for you. Take, eat, and share with others. As we come to share the cup together, we'll hold on to the cup to drink together. And just to warn you, I've asked the group to play He Has Risen, which is quite an upbeat song. But it speaks about the resurrection of Jesus. And therefore, we're going to sing that song as we take this cup to remind ourselves that he not only died on that cross, but that he rose again and will return in triumph. So take, receive, and hold on to this cup so we can drink together. Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we approach the end of our service together. We've gone through the life of Jesus. We've thought about all that he has done in our midst. And he pointed from his death to his coming again. because he said that we should do this in remembrance of him as a declaration of his death until he comes. And so we drink this cup now, remembering the life of Jesus, but knowing that it's not ended, but that he is coming again. Amen. So our final song is, Lord, I lift your name on high. And that really seeks to, again, restate what Jesus has done for us, retell that story, but calls for a response from us that we might lift his name on high. A final celebration of the life of Jesus. And each week I've tried to call you to respond in some way to the life of Jesus, and perhaps today to take away that joy of his resurrection and the hope of his coming again in all that you do where the Lord places you in this week. So let's stand together to sing. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, bless you and keep you in this week. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Howard's reminding we've not taken up the offering. What a terrible omission to make. So perhaps those with the offering bags would like to pass those round before people rush out to avoid giving to the Lord.